Here the confession is addressing the creation of man with special attention that he was created good. And the confession addresses the fall of man and that he himself was entirely responsible. Man was responsible. And then it immediately addresses the hopeless condition of fallen man. Man created good, man responsible for his fall, and man's hopeless condition. And that'll be kind of a little outline that we'll follow here. We'll not really get into his hopeless condition that much. We'll save most of that for next time. But first of all, man was created good. Man was created good. If you have the confession before you, you'll see that it starts by saying, "We believe that God created man from the dust of the earth and made and formed him in his image and likeness. Good, just, and holy, able by his own will to conform in all things to the will of God." This is, of course, straight from the Scripture. And that's how we know man in his original creation was made good, especially because he was made in the image of a good God. Man's original creation, condition, constitution was good, just, and holy. We know that from the unfallen image. And because, we also know that because Genesis says it was good. It was good. Man was good. The creation was good. Man was good. Paradise was good. There was no faults. There were no imperfections. Even the tree of the knowledge of evil, you might be surprised to know, was not in itself evil. It was good. But we know man was good. As it says in Genesis 1:31, behold all that he had made, and it was very good. After he makes man, it was very good. And God ceased from his work of creation. He finished his work. He rested. That's an indication, not that he was tired and not that he needed a recliner, but that everything was finished. Everything was perfect. In fact, the Septuagint, I'm almost certain, translates it ceased. God ceased from his work. And that's fair. That's what it means. It's an indication of perfection. Nothing more was needed. It was good. It was good. Man was good. And therefore, man can never blame God for the fall. He can never blame his environment. He can never blame a failure of what God had made in that original creation. There was not some seed flaw waiting to sprout, waiting to erupt. There's not some viral strain waiting to be triggered under certain circumstances. There's not some missing link of DNA that forced him to soon sin. He's created in the image of God. He was made very good, and God was finished. God ceased. So those three things preclude all that. So blaming God is completely unjustified. We are presented with a perfect creation, a sinless man, a righteous man. And we're not left without any detail beyond Genesis, of course, of the knowledge of our original created image. We see that image in the humanity of Jesus. In the perfect humanity of Jesus, the sinlessness of Jesus. And we see it in our restored image through when we become Christians through faith in Jesus. We're restored in that image. Christians are told that we are recreated into this image, Colossians 3:10. And we have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And that's in the context of morality. So it's also a moral image. Righteousness, purity, goodness. We also see this image in Ephesians 4:24. As we are saved, as we're restored to an image of true righteousness and true holiness. So man was good, man was perfect, man was righteous. Ecclesiastes 7:29 says, God made man upright. God made man upright. Now some have protested. And they say, if man was good and righteous and perfect, how could he sin? Right? If man was perfect, he wouldn't be able to sin. And it is true, if we define perfection that way, we would agree. Because man did sin. Man did fall. So when we say he was perfect, or you'll hear the older theologians speak of man's perfection, his original perfection in the garden, he was perfect, yet he was able to sin. He was perfect, but he was subject to the fall. And even when we say that, beware, when we say he's subject to the fall, beware that we don't place his ability to sin or that potentiality to sin, we don't blame God for that as part of a flawed creation, you see, lest by this we blame our Creator and attribute Adam's sin to God instead of to man. And that's what modern men do. You know that. You know modern man is doing that. He is really blaming God for his sin. See, if even modern man, even when modern man allows for God, or even if modern man allows for creation, they wickedly believe in a creation where God made me to sin. Right? God made me like this. Right? And they want to blame him. And what they're doing is they're justifying their sin. They're excusing their sin. Well, the whole account of Genesis, as well as all of Scripture, speaks against that. God created man good, righteous, perfect, we may say. Yet he was made with the potential to fall, and he did fall. But he is the one who is solely responsible. Not his environment, not a created flaw in his DNA, and not God. Man is responsible. Number two, man is responsible for his fall. Now, just like we saw last time with the doctrine of providence in the confession, his sovereignty is never to be used, God's sovereignty is never to be used to say that God is the author of sin. There's mysteries there we don't fully understand, but God is not the author of sin. We can't say that because he decreed whatsoever has come to pass, we can't say he's the author of sin. That is repugnant to the nature of God. It is contrary to all teaching of Scripture. It is quite opposed to our confessions. Man is responsible. Man is responsible. I'll go further. Though the devil is the agent of our fall, man is still always the one guilty in Scripture. Man is always the one responsible. That is, man can't blame the devil. Even today, we should never say, the devil made me do that. The devil can't be blamed. God can't be blamed. Man himself is to blame. Scripture always puts the responsibility and the entrance of sin on man. Romans 5:12, through one man, sin entered the world. The devil's got his own problems, okay? He's going to answer for it. But man is responsible. And it seems to me that is what the confession is emphasizing. He subjected himself willingly to sin, it says. By his sin, he separated himself from God so that he made himself guilty. He is inexcusable. It seems like the confession, as the writers were writing it there, wanted to stress that. And the Bible stresses it. That is very biblical. Man is responsible for his fall, his sin, his sinful condition. And just as you look at the confession there, number three, we'll just touch on it. Look at man's hopeless condition. This is such, and this is so true, and this isn't the half of it. Look at the confession. But he subjected himself willingly to sin, consequently to death and the curse, lending his ear to the word of the devil. For he transgressed the commandment of life, which he had received, and by his sin he separated himself from God, who was his true life. What a great statement of the confession. That's what life is. Life was a relationship with God, and death was in fact the great spiritual death of separation with God. Physical death was something that followed in the curse. So on the day he ate of it, he did die. He was separated from God. So he separated himself from God, who was his true life, having corrupted his entire nature. So he made himself guilty and was subject to physical and spiritual death, having become wicked, perverse, and corrupt in all his ways. He lost his excellent gifts, which he had received from God, and he retained none of them except for small traces, which are enough to make him inexcusable. Moreover, all the light in us is turned to darkness, as the Scripture teaches us. The light shone in the darkness, and the darkness did not receive it. Such is the misery of man. And we all fell in Adam. We're all counted guilty. Adam represented us. And God, in Adam, counts the whole human race guilty in him. We inherited the sin nature. We are also his seed. We are his descendants. And beloved, this is why the good news is such good news. Because as fallen and lost and miserable as we were, as guilty and unable, as much as we couldn't, Christ did. That's the good news. Christ did it. Christ saves us and he restores us to his image. And God deserves all the glory. God made us good, righteous, morally perfect. We sinned. We are responsible. Ecclesiastes 7:29. I gave you the first part. God made man upright, and he has sought out many devices. Next week, we'll look at the second part of that, the sinful and miserable condition of man and our hopelessness without Christ. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we are guilty in Adam. You counted the whole human race guilty. And what we must take away from that is from our representative head, Adam, that any one of us, every one of us, would have turned away from you, rejected you, disobeyed you. And so we are guilty. We're guilty in Adam, and we're plenty guilty in ourselves too. We've contributed. And Father, we've inherited that sinful nature. And by that sinful nature, we are opposed to you until you, by your grace, enlightened our minds, regenerated our hearts, taught us Jesus Christ, and called us to embrace him by faith. We thank you so much for granting us repentance and granting us faith to believe. May you receive all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.